The following program is not a production of Audio Journal. External programs like this are selected with the interests of our audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Welcome to the Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy. Hope you're ready for a good time, because I sure am. Let's start it off with the duplex. A boy named Marvin, with a crew cut, is addressing the teacher in the classroom, who happens to be Gina, the woman who lives in the duplex building next to Eno Camino. The boy remarks, "So, let me get this straight. You tried teaching me fractions for 2 weeks, after which I flunked a math test, proving I didn't learn anything, correct?" He holds up the math test that's marked with an F. Gina replies, "So?" He continues, "I think I'm entitled to some kind of tuition refund," to which the teacher replies, "Sit down, Marvin." Drabble. Norman, Ralph's oldest, is holding Wally, the wiener dog, on Echo's front porch. Echo, his girlfriend, is saying goodnight. "Well, thanks again to you and Wally for finding Mittens." Mittens is her badger, who was missing. Echo asks, "How can I show my appreciation?" In the next frame, Norman points out, "Oh, a kiss would be nice." Echo, "I agree." With that, she leans down and kisses Wally on the nose. Schmooch. Deflocked. Cobb, the tall dog, is with Tucker, the little boy, and Rupert, the short dog. They're all chatting with Mamet the sheep. Cobb, "You're starting a new college, Mamet?" Mamet replies, "Yes, and tuition will cost $10,000. Mamet continues, "Each one of you will get a federal loan for that exact amount. Pay me, and then the government will forgive your loans. We'll be rich." Tucker, "That sounds terrible." Mamet, "Fine, I'll throw in a meal plan." Non sequitur. We're in an office with cubicles. One man is sitting at his desk while he's using a Ouija board. I assume you all know what a Ouija board is. The door reads, BFGD Old School Brokers. An elderly woman is coming through the front door, and she's wearing a dress with stars and planets and moon imprints. She's also wearing a floppy hat. In other words, she looks like a stereotypical medium. Meanwhile, others are in their cubicles on their phones. Another man who's wearing phone gear on his head announces, "Our top guy is working on it now, so I should have the futures market analysis shortly." He's referring to the man consulting the Ouija board. The text box reads, "How the stock market really works." Lola, our favorite senior citizen, is sitting on the park bench reading a newspaper. Cecil, her quirky friend, shows up and sits. Lola, "What's up, Cecil?" Cecil answers, "Oh, just waiting for my slow, painful, inevitable death." Lola looks at him and then points out, "Maybe it'll be quick and painful." Cecil, "Oh, I appreciate you trying to cheer me up." We used to call that a sad sack character. Marmaduke. The big dog is sitting on the floor in the living room next to the children. When Debbie, their mother, and the big dog's owner, asks, "What was my vegetarian cookbook doing in the garbage can?" Ziggy. Our diminutive friend is seated in a chair facing the desk of a mustachioed gentleman seated behind a desk. A sign on the back wall that overlooks the executive reads, "Friendly Loan Company." The bank manager. "Now, let me tell you about our frenemy payment plan." Frenemy is a made-up word for friends and enemies. Garfield. Our favorite feline is standing in a beam of light emanating downward from a flying saucer. A voice from within the alien ship announces, "The tractor beam can't abduct this one." Tractor beam's the transporter, right? In the final frame, the UFO has drawn away from Earth. Garfield shouts to the ship, "I am not fat!" Baby blues. Daryl enters the house and announces, "Hey, everybody, I'm..." He is interrupted by a frisbee that has crashed into his mouth. "Home. Mom." Hammy is smiling as he stands next to Wren, his little sister, the toddler, who he has been teaching how to throw. Daryl's eyes are swirling in his head as he nearly passes out. Hammy, "Big news. Wren can throw a frisbee." Pearls before swine. Pig and Goat are seated at the diner counter having hot tea. Pig, "How does a capitalism system work?" Goat replies, "Well, in theory, if you work harder than the other guy, you get ahead." In the next frame, Pig continues his questions. "And what's the other guy doing?" Goat, "Working hard to get ahead of you." In the next frame, Pig asks, "What if we both just agree to nap?" Goat, "Well, I suppose that's an option." Pig, "Does someone still hand us money?" The Argyle Sweater. A text box reads, "Top apps for dung beetles." The first one is Feces Book, shown with a drawing of a dung beetle holding a cell phone. The second set begins with "What's crap?" and a drawing of a dung beetle with a cell phone where a voice is heard announcing, "Can I call you back? We're at Dung and Donuts." The third example shows a dung beetle with a cell phone that's showing an image of a pile of excrement, currently a trending emoji, with the text box reading, "Snap scat." The dung beetle in this segment is looking at the excrement emoji and saying, "Ha ha, look at this filter." Next is a depiction of a cell phone showing two words in crossword puzzle fashion. The title reads, "Turds with Friends." Jeez. Finally, a dung beetle is at the front door holding a bag of whatever they ordered, announcing, "Poober Eats. I have a poo-poo platter for Don." Pickles. Earl is watching Opal, who is walking by while carrying a hamper of dirty clothes. Earl, "Would you like me to fold that laundry for you, dear?" In the second and third frame, Opal is imagining Earl trying to fold clothes, but not having any luck. The clothes are a mess, as a matter of fact. Opal, "No thanks." Zitz. You may recall Jeremy has asked his mother, Connie, to wake him early because he needs to be early at school. She has amassed a battery of musical instruments and sound enhancers to do the job. The next morning, she taps lightly on his door. Tap, tap. She announces, "Jeremy, it's 6:30. Time to get up." In the next frame, she's holding a huge power bullhorn as she shouts, "Jeremy, get up!" In the final frame, Jeremy's dad has joined Connie, who remarks, "Do you think he's awake?" Dad replies, "Well, there can't be a Jeremy within a 5-mile range who isn't." The Family Circus. Billy is standing in a school crosswalk. He's wearing a yellow patrol boy bandolier. He remarks to a nearby police officer, "Hang around in case I need some backup." Sally Forth. An African-American woman is at the front door of Sally and Ted's home. Sally opens the door and announces, "Hello." The woman continues, "Hi, I'm Joe Preston. My husband and I just moved in next door, and we were wondering if you'd like to come over Saturday night for some food and drinks. You know, just a nice get-together, get-to-know-you kind of thing." Ted comes to the door and asks, "Is this a prank?" Sally, 2022 has been bad enough already. We can't take being the butt of a joke." Now the woman looks puzzled and remarks, "Wow, just what were your last few next-door neighbors like?" Rhymes with Orange. The text box reads, "The new kid on the block." There's a radar dish sitting on a piece of structure that has a sign on its side that says Web, W-E-B-B. In the background is another structure that's marked Hubble, and this has a face and a frowny mouth, and the Hubble remarks, "I hate him." This all, by the way, is these items are suspended in space. It's because the new Webb telescope is so much better, with a greater range than the Hubble. That's why he hates them. Mutz. Mooch the cat is searching for something, and he's looking under the bed. He remarks, "The sock is missing. It's a real mystery." In the second frame, he asks, "Where could a sock be?" He spins his head around where there's question marks filling the air. Finally, Mooch is walking in the hallway, and he says, "Something's afoot." Mother Goose and Grimm. Attila the cat is talking to Grimm. "What are we having for dinner?" Grimm, "Well, we're going to have leftover Chinese tonight." Attila shrugs his shoulders and replies, "So what happened in the final frame?" Attila and Grimm are joined by Ralph, the other dog, who is wrapped all in bandages from head to foot, and they look at him with wide eyes, and he replies, "You try sticking General So's chicken in a microwave." Macanudo. Two penguins are walking on the beach. One has an umbrella, the other does not. The ocean is gently lapping the shore. One of the penguins says to the other, "There's not a cloud in the sky. Why would you bring an umbrella?" In the final frame, they're both swimming in the ocean when the one with the umbrella remarks, "Who looks silly now?" Hi and Lois. We're in a grocery store. Hi is in the cereal aisle. The twins are with him. He's doing the shopping. Dot, one of the twins who has a box of cereal in her hands, asks, "Can we get this cereal?" The box reads, "Chocolat." Ditto, the other twin, adds, "It has a toy inside." In the final frame, we're back at home, and Lois is talking to Hi. Lois spies the cereal and asks, "Why did you get this cereal?" Hi replies, "It reminded me of my youth." Dustin. Ed, Dustin's father, is in the kitchen standing next to Helen, Dustin's mother. She's peeling a potato. Ed, "Yeah, I was reading about nutrition." She's thinking, "Oh, this should be good." By the way, the exact same conversation took place at the doctor's office yesterday when he told the doctor that he was reading about nutrition. Anyway, Ed continues, "I was reading about nutrition, so I was telling the doctor that this article mentioned about how there's such a thing as healthy fats. I asked the doctor." Helen interrupts, "Wait, let me guess. He ruled out your stomach." Ed, "Yeah, and he refused even to have it tested." Nice try, Ed. Blondie. Dagwood is relaxing in his easy chair with his feet up on the ottoman. Blondie is in her easy chair facing the other way, and she's reading a magazine. Blondie, "Honey, are you wearing cologne?" Dagwood replies, "Nope. You're probably smelling the meatball, pepperoni, and anchovy sandwich I just had." Blondie, "I know. Do you think you should wear some cologne?" Bizarro. There's a beautiful woman wearing a tiara and a purple dress with a white sash. She also has long blonde hair, and she's holding the hand of a frog who's dressed in royal ermine. They meet another woman who's wearing a hat and a veil and also a blue dress. By the way, I should mention this all takes place in medieval times. The frog remarks, "Oh, we're happy just holding hands." Beetle Bailey. Captain Greenbrass is in the kitchen of the mess hall talking to Cookie. The captain remarks, "The general's not a big rum drinker." Cookie, "I know." And he points to a bottle-shaped cake on the table with some plates next to it. Greenbrass is smiling, and Cookie points out, "That's why I made him a scotch cake for his birthday." Dilbert. One of the secretaries comes into Dilbert's office as she holds out a piece of paper. She remarks, "You need to sign this non-employee certification form before I process your raise." Dilbert, "But this would be a lie. I'm not a non-employee." She replies, "I'm only the messenger." Dilbert, "Where did it come from?" The secretary replies, "The file cabinet." The other coast. A tan dog is sitting in the meadow and is barking up a storm. Bark, 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 bark. Coco, the black and white dog, saunters by and mentions, "You know, that's really a big bark for such a small dog." The tan dog, "I have a barking coach." Duplex. Fang, the yellow dog, is sitting on the sofa watching television. Ino Camino approaches while drinking a beer. He's also wearing boxer shorts and a t-shirt. He sits on the sofa and remarks, "Our culture is too obsessed with good looks." Ino, "Why do you say that?" Fang replies, "Well, apparently the Weather Service uses models to predict the path of hurricanes." Different type of model. Deflocked. Mammoth the sheep is talking to Cobb the tall dog. Come on, Mammoth. You can't just start a new college to take advantage of the government student loan forgiveness program. Mammoth, well, why not? I'm still providing a valuable service to students. Cobb, your only degree programs are the science of cheetahs, diversity in the Real Housewives TV show. Mammoth points to the brochure and continues, Real Housewives is a doctorate. Cobb, no one's going to believe this endorsement from Socrates. Non sequitur. A group of businessmen and women are sitting at a conference table. The CEO is leading a meeting. Everyone is dressed in business clothes except for a man wearing a tall white chef's hat, a plaid shirt, and a bright yellow apron that reads, Barbecue for Life. He's holding an enormous spatula and a long grilling fork with a sausage stuck on the end. The CEO turns to the man and remarks, We support the sharing of cultural heritage, Phil, but I'm pretty sure suburban pride isn't a thing. Lola, our favorite senior citizen and her boyfriend, Harry, are walking on a sidewalk next to a park. Lola announces, I'm going to bring back the saying 33 skidoo. Harry replies, I thought it was 23 skidoo. Lola, inflation. Harry shakes his head and replies, You're right. Marmaduke. The big dog is lying on the hood of his neighbor's car, taking a nap. The neighbor comes out, annoyed, and wakes up Marmaduke. He points toward the dog's yard and screams, Stop napping on my car. Ziggy. Our little friend is rubbing a magic lamp. The genie has just popped out of the spout of the lamp. The smoky blue apparition says to Ziggy, I can't help you with any wishes. I'm just lamp-sitting for the summer. Garfield. Our favorite feline is reading a letter from the advice column. Dear Ask a Dog. Odie, the dog, is sitting next to him. Garfield. Dear Ask a Dog. What's the scientific name for a dog's nose? Odie explains, bark, 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 bark. Garfield smiles at us as he translates, we believe the correct term is bacon finder. Odie nods his head vigorously in agreement. Baby Blues. Daryl is in the backyard playing with Hammy and Baby Wren. He hands a frisbee to his daughter and points out, Wren has a pretty good arm, so let's practice frisbee throwing out here. He spreads his arms wide and says, See? Lots of wide open space to work on technique at... As he says this, Wren pulls her arm back, preparing to throw. She lets the frisbee fly, which hits her father right in the face, knocking him down. As he lies in the grass with the frisbee stuck in his mouth, he mumbles, Accuracy. When Wren claps her hands with glee. Hammy bends down to his father and tells him, Wow, another hole in one. She had thrown it yesterday and it went right in his mouth. The Argyle Sweater. A man wearing a horse costume is lying on the couch in a psychiatrist's office. The psychiatrist is sitting in a chair writing in his legal pad. The doctor asks, Laryngitis? I'm sorry, I'm not that kind of doctor. The man on the couch replies, No, doc, I said I think I'm a little hoarse. Oh. Oh, that's a groaner. Pickles. Earl is sitting on a park bench on a fall day with his buddy Clyde. Earl. This morning I asked my wife if she'd like me to fold the laundry for her. He continues. She said no thanks. She would just have to fold it again anyway. The two men sit and stare off into space. Finally, Earl announces, Man, I love that woman. Aww. Pearls Before Swine. The first frame reads, The average length of a Netflix movie. It's accompanied by a graphic of a cowboy movie on a television screen. The title reads, 1 hour, 37 minutes. The next frame reads, average length of time it takes to pick that movie, 3 hours and 42 minutes. Three people are sitting on a couch, looking at the television, playing with the remote. The first one asks, how about this one? The second person answers, seen it. The third person suggests, go back to the first one. In the final frame, Rat is sitting at the table drawing the aforementioned cartoons. He shows the drawings to Pig. Rat, it's the crisis of our age. Pig looks at the drawing and replies, so that's where my life's precious minutes are going. Amen. Zits. Connie, Jeremy's mother, is wearing her hot pink bathrobe and crashing a pair of cymbals together. Crash, crash, crash. In the next frame, she's playing bagpipes loudly as they squeal. Blat. In the next frame, she's banging on a set of drums. Ba-dum, ba-dum, bam, ba-bam, bam. In the final frame, she's sitting in front of Jeremy's closed bedroom door, sweating. Her hair is all out of place, and her cheeks are bright red from all of the exertion. Jeremy is still sleeping. Mom turns to her husband and points out, if I have to be Jeremy's alarm clock, I'll need to start training. Good luck. The family circus. Mommy is taking all four of the children out to run errands. As she leads them into the sporting goods store, Billy asks, if we promise not to ask for anything, will you buy us something? Sally Forth. Ted and Sally are leaving the house. Sally, I can't believe we got invited over by the new next-door neighbors. That's a first. We really need to impress these people. Ted, well, now hold on. They're the newbies. We're the old guard in this neighborhood. He continues, so they should impress us instead. Sally thinks about what Ted is saying. And what exactly is our bar for being impressed? Ted, I don't know. They call us by our first names instead of the first expletive that comes to mind? Rhymes with orange. The text box reads, renovations. A peasant is standing on a ladder, using a tool to fix the thatched roof on the top of his small hut. There are other rudimentary tools sitting on a table. The peasant is talking to a neighbor. The contractor said they'll be here between the Bronze Age and the Iron Age. The neighbor replies, I'll keep an eye out for him. Mutts. Mooch the cat is lying on the counter at a restaurant. He has a big pillow leaning up against a napkin holder. Earl is sitting on a bar stool next to him. Butchie, the muscular chef, is wearing a white apron and a chef's cap. He is leaning on the counter or staring at the cat. Mooch turns to Butchie and asks, do you have any comfort food? Mother Goose and Grim. Grim is flossing his teeth by holding either end of the floss and using it to run between his teeth. Ralph, the other dog who lives with Grim, is also there with dental floss. However, somehow, Ralph has managed to thread the floss in one of his ears and out the other. As he pulls it back and forth with each hand, there is a loud squeak, 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 squeak. Grim looks up and warns, no, no, Ralph, floss your teeth. That is so stupidly absurd, but somehow funny. Macanudo. A married couple is standing out in a field arguing. In the middle of their argument, a spaceship hovers over the top of them, sending a tractor beam, or a transporter, over them and sucking them up into the alien craft. As the couple is floating through the air up to the alien ship, the husband turns to his wife and points out, we'll continue this discussion later. Hi, and Lois. Trixie, the toddler, is sitting on the floor of the living room pointing up at something on the wall. Lois notices her and asks, what are you pointing at, Trixie? Trixie is thinking, the wall. Lois smiles and adjusts the picture hanging on the wall. She says to her daughter, you're right, this picture is crooked. Trixie is satisfied and smiles at her mother, thinking, I've got a good eye. Dustin, Our favorite slacker is sitting in front of Simone's desk at the temp agency. Simone is the manager of the agency and has exhibited such patience over the years as Dustin never stays at one job very long. Simone, I'm going to need a little more effort out of you, Dustin. Dustin, you know, Simone, no one ever accused me of being overly lazy. Simone, my apologies then. I didn't realize there was an acceptable amount. Blondie, Dagwood is at the phone store where he's talking to a salesperson in front of a case filled with the latest cell phones and computer tablets. The salesman holds up a new phone and asks, have you checked out the newest iPhone? Dagwood frowns, puts his hands on his hips, and replies to the man, I just bought the newest iPhone. Are you telling me there's already a newer iPhone? The man smiles and raises his arms to explain, haven't you figured out that the moment you buy a new iPhone, it's immediately the old iPhone? Dagwood seems surprised. Bizarro, a bull with long horns on its head, is lying on a psychiatrist's couch. The psychiatrist is leaning over as he takes notes. The bull says to the doctor, I obsessively ruminate about my past misdeeds. The text box reads, grazing into the abyss. You're listening to The Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy. This is brought to you by the good folks at Mind's Eye Organization. Beetle Bailey. Private Killer walks into Miss Buxley's office. He looks at Miss Buxley and waves his arms, shouting, it's love at first sight. Miss Buxley looks up from her paperwork and replies, you've seen me many times before. Killer leans on her desk and says to the woman, I'm seeing you in a whole new light. Unmoved, Miss Buxley explains, sorry, Beetle saw me first. She's currently seeing Beetle. Dilbert. Our favorite engineer approaches his secretary holding a piece of paper and asks, why should I fill out this form? It would take an hour and it doesn't even apply to me. His secretary turns to him. I don't make the rules. I just apply them with a helpless and defeatist attitude. Dilbert nods his head and replies, you're doing an excellent job. The woman looks at her watch and remarks, 7 more hours until quitting time. The Other Coast. A wealthy dog is standing by the bar in his den, having a glass of wine with the neighbor dog, whose picture is on the wall. Behind the wealthy canine are trophy plaques, each holding a wooden stick. In a display case next to the bar is a glass dome mounted over another prize stick. The owner says to his friend, there are some who say bagging a stick and not chewing it is a waste. I prefer to keep them as mementos of my stick-hunting prowess. The Duplex. Il Camino is drinking his morning coffee with Fang, the yellow dog, at the breakfast table. Fang is reading the morning newspaper. Il, I got in trouble again at work. My boss accused me of sleeping at my desk. Fang looks up and asks, did you deny it? Il takes a drink of his coffee and replies, of course, but he knew I was lying. He could see it on my face. Fang asks, you looked guilty? Eno points to his face and explains, I was still wearing my CPAP mask. Travel. Ralph has just finished checking out groceries at the grocery store. His cart is filled with red and orange bags and a carefully balanced tower in his cart. The store manager behind the register waves at Ralph and announces, thanks again, Ralph. Our next shipment of candy corn will arrive Monday. Ralph nods and smiles while replying, see you then. Ralph leaves the store, and the woman behind him in line comes up to the register and asks the cashier, it's only September. You're already sold out of candy corn? The man points after Ralph. Yes, and he's the only one who buys it. Deflocked. Rupert, the short dog, is chatting with Mammoth, the sheep. Rupert, I tried to get a $10,000 loan to attend your school, but the bank said you're not a legitimate college. Outraged, Mammoth pounds his fist on a table, waving his other hoof, and complains, what? I'll fix this. He gets on the phone with the bank. Hello, bank. Do you have oil companies and gun manufacturers in your portfolio? He hangs up the phone, and then Rupert asks, what'd they say? Mammoth, you're approved for a full ride. Non sequitur. We're in some sort of a gallery where there are framed photos of food and wine on the walls. A middle-aged couple is reading a sign. Near them is a lectern with a woman standing behind it as she's looking at her cell phone. of a husband and wife are looking at the sign, which reads, "The hostess will seat you after dealing with some issues at home." The husband looks at his wife and remarks, "Yeah, but on the other hand, it's a pretty good sign of a strong job market." The text box reads, "The joy of dining out with an economist." Lola, our favorite senior citizen is sitting at a bar with a stein of beer in front of her. From off frame, someone says, "Hey, you want to do a shot with me?" Lola replies, "Sure." In the final frame, she's sitting next to Big Bird from Sesame Street. Big Bird says, "Two warm juices, please." Lola, on second thought. Marmaduke, the big dog is sitting in front of his doghouse, relaxing. He's admiring a gold cup he's received. Phil, his owner, along with the next-door neighbor, are sitting in the yard in lawn chairs having some beverages. Phil remarks, "Marmaduke got that for not participating in the dog show." Ziggy, our favorite little guy is looking in a mirror, and the image is announcing to the actual Ziggy, "This mirror adds 10 pounds, so I'd really appreciate you going on a diet." Garfield, our favorite feline is looking at us thinking, "Don't judge me until you walk in my shoes." And in the second frame, Garfield holds up his bare paw and announces, "Which I don't wear." In the final frame, he continues, "So, don't judge me." Baby Blues. Hammy and Wren are playing on the carpeting in the living room while Wren is holding a frisbee that she's been throwing around. She's pretty accurate, but she's been hitting her dad a lot with it. Wanda and Daryl are standing nearby. Wanda remarks, "Hammy's been teaching Wren how to throw things all afternoon." Daryl, "I'm aware. She hit me twice with the frisbee. Couldn't you have suggested something a little less painful?" Wanda, "His first idea was axes." Daryl, complaint withdrawn. Pearls before swine. Rat is taking some vitamins. The text box reads, "Daily vitamin supplement, one a day vitamin that meets all your vitamin and mineral needs." In the next frame, he's shaking the bottle to dispense one in his hand, and in the next frame, the bottle is on the table. Rat pops a pill in his mouth, and in the next frame, he's taking the entire bottle. Glug, 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 glug. In the final frame, Rat is talking to Pig. "Vitamins shouldn't come in gummy bear shapes." Pig, "We'll need to pump your stomach." The Argyle sweater. In the first frame, a vulture is looking at its cell phone. The screen reads, "Patient flatlining in operating room 3. In the next frame, he sticks his head into the operating room of the doctor that notified him. He announces, "Thanks, fellas, but I brought my lunch today." Pickles. Opal is sitting on the sofa while Earl is reading the newspaper on the other end of the sofa. Roscoe is relaxing between them. He's the family dog. Opal, "I think it's time to take Roscoe to the groomer." Earl, "Why?" Opal, "His hair is all matted and he has an odor." Opal continues, "Can't you smell it?" Earl, "Well, you know, I don't smell very good." Opal, "No comment." Zitz, you recall that Jeremy had asked his parents to wake him up early for school, and they've been trying, and Connie's been playing all kinds of instruments very loud, beating pots and pans, making a big racket. But nothing's worked. She finally gives up, and she tells her husband, "Gosh, if I'm going to have to do this on a regular basis, I'm going to need to train." In today's episode, Connie is looking at Jeremy, who's in bed snoring. Connie, "He's still asleep." Dad assesses the situation and replies, "I've got this." And he pulls something out of his pocket. It's a small item, somewhat brown in color. The dad holds it under Jeremy's nose, and he immediately awakens. Connie asks, "Smelling salts?" The dad, "Nope, bacon." Sally Forth. Hillary is walking through the living room, and she comes across her mother, Sally, who's sitting on the sofa. Sally, "Oh, hi. I'm ordering you pizza for dinner because we're going to the next-door neighbor's house tonight." Hillary, "What? Are you breaking in, or were you two actually invited?" Hillary continues, "Wow, so do you think they'll immediately harvest your organs or just see how the acid bath goes?" Silly. All options are probably on the table, but we're pulling for a pleasant evening. Very cute. Rhymes with orange. The text box reads, Darwin at home. Two men are sitting in front of a fireplace in a late 19th century drawing room. Three trophy fish are mounted on the wall over a fireplace. However, the third fish has human legs and feet. Darwin says to his friend, Well, the Galapagos Islands wasn't all work. I got some fishing in. Mother Goose and Grimm. Mother Goose is in her easy chair reading a book when she's confronted by Grimm and Ralph, the other dog. Grimm is holding his food dish, which contains dog food. Grimm, why are you calling a kibble Tuesday when we have it every night? Macanudo. Three panels. The first panel shows a beach by the ocean and a penguin walking by the water. He announces, Perhaps I should lie down for a while. In the next frame, he's lying on the beach. In the third frame, the penguin commences his walk. He smiles and remarks, Yes, much better. I know this strip is somewhat obscure, but I don't get that one at all. Hi and Lois. Lois is showing Ditto one of the twins, an empty box of cookies. She's wagging her finger at him. What happened to this new package of cookies? Ditto, I shared them with my friends. Lois, oh, you didn't have anyone over? They're your imaginary friends? Dustin. Hayden, Dustin's good friend and next-door neighbor, is a young boy who's very studious. He wears large spectacles. He's sitting on the street curb eating an ice cream sandwich. Dustin is sitting next to Hayden and is consuming a fudgesicle. Hayden, hey, I'm going to do push-ups and set a world record. Dustin, a world record? How many would that be? Hayden replies, not that many, really, since I'm relying on my mom's insistence that I live in my own little world. Bizarro, we're in hell. The devil is wearing a cape, Speedos, and his feet are actually hooves. Next to him is a grandmother. A woman sitting in an easy chair while knitting. She remarks to the devil, It's so chilly here. Be a good boy and fetch my shawl. The devil, Yes, Nana. Beetle Bailey. Sarge is talking to Beetle, Killer, Zero, and an unnamed female soldier. Sarge, you're missing a button, Beetle. Beetle, come on, Sarge. Did anyone ever lose a battle because of a button? In the next frame, Beetle is on his bunk sewing a button on a shirt. Beetle, I really don't think there was a defeat at the Battle of the Button. Dilbert, our favorite engineer has been arguing with his secretary. Dilbert, you expect me to sign this? The legalese is totally incomprehensible. His secretary, you will. Dilbert, would you expect me to give up legal rights just because it's too hard to figure out what any of it means? She replies, yes, and initial the involuntary biological testing box. Dilbert, okay. The other coast. Coco, the black and white dog, is walking on a sidewalk when he looks out at a puddle and sees a worm in the puddle. He's thinking, oh no, there's a worm drowning in a hot puddle. He takes the worm out and puts him in the grass. Coco, I'll rescue it and put it back in the soil. Suddenly a bird on a nearby branch shouts, hey, dog! That worm was going to be my lunch. Coco, this drowned worm? The bird, sautéed worm. The duplex. Eno Camino has been stopped by a policeman while driving his car. Fang, the yellow dog, is in the passenger seat. The cop, I pulled you over because you weren't wearing your seatbelt. Eno, oh, sorry. Then the cop replies, okay, I'm going to let you off with a warning this time. Eno, thanks. As the cop walks back to the squad car, the law enforcement officer shouts, Love you. Eno looks at Fang, and Fang replies, When did your mom get a motorcycle? Drabble. Ralph has thrown out his back. There are star emojis emanating from his back. Honeybunch sees he's in pain and asks, How's your sore back? Ralph looks up at the emojis above his head and counts five. He looks at his wife and says, Five stars. Deflocked. Mammon is talking to Cobb the tall dog and Rupert the short dog and Tucker, who lives with them. Mammon, okay, it looks like the feds are ready to give you all a bunch of forgivable loans to attend my new college. He continues, "What a great country. The government funds your education, and I get rich." Tucker raises his hand. "But shouldn't we actually get educated?" Mammon, "Wow, who let in the communists?" Non sequitur. A man and a woman are in a fancy restaurant on their first date. The name of the establishment is the Jury Is Out Cafe. The woman, wearing a business suit, has her head in her hands as she's bored sitting at the table. The man is reading from a pile of papers. There are other folders and stacks of papers surrounding him. The waiter is in the background looking annoyed, waiting for them to order. The man reads, "Okay, we're agreed. The first date expenses will be split evenly with your option on a goodnight kiss and no obligation for another date." Now, on to Clause 28. The title of the strip is Why Contract Lawyers Rarely Get a Second Date. Lola. Sammy, Lola's grandson, is sitting at the breakfast table having some cereal with his grandmother. Sammy, "Grandma, do you pray?" Lola looks up from her plate and replies, "Every night, Sammy boy." Sammy, "Well, what do you pray for?" Lola, "Oh, family and friends, world peace." She holds up her Pop-Tart and continues, "And a Pop-Tart where the frosting covers the entire side and not just this oval in the middle." Marmaduke. The big dog is playing in a field with a bunch of the neighbor children. He is joyfully chasing them as the children run giggling and screaming, trying to get away from Marmaduke. Barbie, the little blonde girl who lives with Marmaduke, turns to her friend and remarks, "Yes, Marmaduke is a rescue dog. He rescues us from a life of boredom." Siggy. Our favorite diminutive friend is having his fortune read. The fortune teller is looking into a crystal ball. Ziggy's elongated face is reflected as stretched out in the glass. This makes his nose look very long and his head misshapen. The fortune teller continues, "Near as I can see, your spirit animal is something called a blobfish." Aw, that's not nice. Garfield. John is talking to his girlfriend, Liz. "John, it's warm today. I think I'll walk around with my shirt off." Liz's eyes get very wide as she pauses in shock. In the final frame, Liz is gone. John asks Garfield, "Where did Liz go?" Garfield points outside of the frame and replies, "She leapt out the window, dashed through the backyard, scaled the fence, and raced down the alley." Baby Blues. Hammy comes into the kitchen hopping on one foot. He's holding his other foot in his hand and is complaining to his mother, "Zoe dropped a rock on my foot." Wanda, his mother, is concerned as she asks, "What?" Wanda walks into her daughter's room and scolds, "Zoe." Zoe explains to her mother, "Mom, we were just playing rock, paper, scissors." Mom looks more and more concerned. "With real scissors and rocks?" Zoe holds a rock up in her hand. "It beefs up the excitement." The Argyle Sweater. A mother turns on the light in her son's room to wake him up in the morning. She happily sings to her son, "Rise and shine. It's bring your child to work day." The boy, who is snug underneath the covers, turns to his mother and groans, "Ugh, it wasn't funny the first 2 weeks of school, and it's still not funny." The text box reads, "When your mom's a teacher." Good one. Pickles. Opal is sitting on her easy chair knitting. Roscoe, the family dog, is curled up by her side. Earl enters putting on his jacket. Opal asks, "Where are you going, Earl?" Earl, "To the dog groomer." Earl leaves. Opal shouts, "Aren't you forgetting something?" Earl re-enters the house and reaches for his car keys on the table. Earl, "Oh yeah, my car keys, thanks." Earl leaves. Opal looks down at her dog and remarks, "I always wondered where he got his sleek and shiny coat." She never misses a trick. Pearls Before Swine. Rat is sitting on a hill on a bright sunny day. Pig approaches and asks, "What are you doing, Rat?" Rat, "I'm waiting to be discovered for the brilliant genius I am." Pig, "How will that happen?" Rat, "Well, someone will just walk by and say, 'Hey, you're a genius and deserve better in life.'" Pig puts his hands on his hips and replies, "Not sure it works that way." Rat waves his hand at Pig as he points out, "Not with you blocking his view." Zitz. Jeremy and Pierce are walking in the school hallway. They pass a woman. Jeremy turns to his buddy and asks, "Who's that lady behind you?" Pierce looks over his shoulder and then tells Jeremy, "Oh, that's Mrs. Evans." Pierce digs around in his locker as he continues. "Her kid is starting high school next year, and she wanted to shadow an actual student." Jeremy, "So you're a random sample?" Pierce has taken an orange boa constrictor with bright yellow circles on its skin out of his locker and wrapped it around his neck. In his other hand is a small cage with two mice in it. Mrs. Evans, who is observing this, seems stunned. Her mouth is hanging open. Pierce turns to his friend and replies, "More like a worst-case scenario." Oh, Pierce. The Family Circus. Mommy is in the dining room setting out fancy hors d'oeuvres for a party. She is dressed in cocktail attire while sticking toothpicks in each of the cocktail weenies on one of the platters. Dolly, dressed in her pajamas, is standing on a chair next to the table. She points at the tray and asks her mother, "You want me to put the handles on those little hot dogs?" She's so helpful. Sally Forth. Ted and Sally are dressing up to go and visit their neighbors. Ted holds up a bottle of wine and asks his wife, "You want to bring this over to the neighbors?" Sally, "No. Everyone knows you can pick that up for $6 a bottle." Ted holds up another bottle. "Well, there's also this." Sally gasps, "No, that's the high-priced one we got as a gift that we're saving for a special occasion." Ted shrugs, "But we don't have anything in between." Sally, "What if we show up next door with a tray of pre-made cocktails, or is that more telling than truthful?" Rhymes with orange. The text box reads, "The Creek." Outside of a castle, the king and queen are sitting in thrones that have been set up in the grass on the side of the moat. They are each wearing their fancy dress attire with crowns on their heads. Floating in the moat is a rowboat with two court jesters fishing in the water. The queen turns to her husband and remarks, "I don't know how you can watch these fishing shows. You call this streaming entertainment?" Oh, gosh. Mutts. Two little girls are walking to school. They are each carrying a backpack or books under their arms. In front of them is a boy wearing a suit. He seems very arrogant and walks with his nose in the air. The one girl turns to her friend and says, "I hear he's the teacher's pet." Earl the dog and Mooch the cat are observing this from the grass as the children walk by. Mooch turns to Earl and remarks, "I thought she had a cat." Macanudo. A little clown is standing next to an enormous blob of black ink. The clown's clothes are spattered with bits of ink, including his cloak and his tall hat. There are also ink smudges all over his face. He turns toward the blob and says glumly, "Klutz." Dustin. Our favorite millennial, Dustin, is chatting with a beautiful woman at the bar. They each hold a cocktail. The woman in a pretty black dress holds up her hand to Dustin and points out, "I don't think you're my type." Dustin, "How would you know? I just walked up." The woman replies, "I've actually been watching you all night." Dustin, "Maybe you noticed I move like a natural athlete." The woman crosses her arms and replies, "Yes, if getting rejected by girls is a sport." Blondie. Dagwood is happily sleeping on the couch in the living room. Blondie approaches holding a to-do list. She turns to her husband and remarks, "Do you want to paint the front door, clean the attic, or fix the leaky pipe first?" Dagwood does not move, but replies, "I'll start with the leak." In the next frame, Dagwood is lying on his back underneath the sink. Blondie is standing in the kitchen looking at her husband. Their son, Alexander, enters and tells his mother, "Dad's been working on that sink a long time." Blondie, "Well, you can't rush perfection." From under the sink, we hear Dagwood snoring. Bizarro. A man in a pair of overalls and work clothes is putting up wallpaper. Behind him, two walls are covered in pretty flowered wallpaper. The left half of the comic is completely white. He's holding the backside of a piece of wallpaper, applying wallpaper glue from a brush to the imaginary wall in front of him. The text box reads, "Preparing the fourth wall." You've been listening to The Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy. I hope you had a good time. I sure did. This has been brought to you by the folks at Mind's Eye Organization, helping the low vision and blind communities in the St. Louis region since 1973. Have a great week. Take care.
There are more than 1 million English words. Next up, word nerd Steph Donoff with some of them worth talking about.
There is an itty-bitty, teeny-weeny fraction of English words that are taboo in polite society, especially on radio. And we are going to talk about them without saying any of them. You see, taboo words have medicinal value. A study at Oxford University showed that saying those taboo words increases your tolerance for pain. And you know the words I'm talking about. Scientists had people put their hands in ice water and asked them how much it hurt and saw how long they could keep their hands in it. Saying, even shouting, imitation swear words like darn, shucks, heck, even fudge did not help as much as the taboo words. There's a certain emotional release and strength in saying taboo words when you are hurting. This does not mean you can swear the next time you stub your toe. Now you have a good excuse for when you do.
That's enough talk about words. Let's go back to listening to them.
Are you having difficulty with your eyesight? Are you losing your vision? Are you afraid of what comes next? If you're blind or visually impaired, contact Mass Commission for the Blind to find out if you're eligible to register for services. Learn new skills to reclaim your independence. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB. That's 1-800-392-6450.
And now, Medical Myths and Facts with Dr. Richard Curtis.
We all live with some degree of uncertainty, but there are moments in life, during economic upheaval, political tension, illness, or global crises, when uncertainty seems to dominate everything. And when that happens, stress levels rise almost automatically. There is a biological reason for this. The human brain is built to detect threats. Deep in the brain sits a structure called the amygdala, which acts like an alarm system. When something uncertain or potentially dangerous appears, that alarm activates the body's stress response, raising heart rate, increasing cortisol, sharpening attention. In short bursts, that system protects us. But when uncertainty stretches on for weeks or months, the alarm can stay partially activated. People begin to experience chronic worry, difficulty sleeping, irritability, and trouble concentrating. The key question becomes, how do we live well when the future is unclear? Psychologists and neuroscientists generally point to a few practical strategies. The first is learning to distinguish what we can control from what we cannot. Much of our stress comes from trying to mentally solve problems that are actually beyond our reach. The ancient philosophy of Stoicism emphasized this idea thousands of years ago. Focus your energy on your own actions and your own judgments, not on events outside your power. When we redirect attention toward what we can influence, our work, our relationships, our daily habits, we regain a sense of agency, which reduces stress dramatically. A second strategy involves protecting our mental environment. In today's world, uncertainty often arrives through constant streams of alarming and disquieting information. News updates, social media, and commentary can create the impression that danger is everywhere and continuous. The brain, however, interprets repeated exposure to threatening information as repeated danger signals. Limiting news intake to specific times of the day and avoiding constant scrolling helps prevent the stress system from remaining perpetually activated. The third strategy uses the body to calm the mind. Stress is not only psychological, it is physiological. Fortunately, the nervous system has a built-in calming mechanism known as the parasympathetic response. One of the simplest ways to activate it is through slow breathing. Inhale slowly for about 4 seconds, then exhale for 6 seconds. That longer exhale signals the nervous system to slow the heart rate and reduce stress hormones. Physical activity works in a similar way. Even a brisk 20-minute walk can significantly lower cortisol and improve mood. A fourth protective factor is routine. Uncertainty disrupts predictability, and the brain thrives on predictable structure. Maintaining consistent sleep times, meals, exercise, work patterns all create islands of stability in an otherwise unstable environment. Finally, one of the most powerful buffers against stress is human connection. Talking with trusted friends or family members helps regulate emotions in ways the brain cannot easily accomplish, and certainly alone. Social connection literally dampens stress signals in the nervous system. So the lesson from psychology and neuroscience is reassuring. We cannot eliminate uncertainty from life, but we can manage how our minds and bodies respond to it. By focusing on what we can control, limiting constant threat signals, calming the body, maintaining routines, and staying connected with others, we give the brain the conditions it needs to remain steady, even when the world feels unpredictable. And that steadiness, more than certainty itself, is what ultimately allows us to navigate difficult times well.
This is Bird Note. When taking public transportation, you might read a book or listen to a podcast. But what if you used your commute to do a little birding? On the way to the bus or train stop, you might see a common grackle hopping along the curb. Or hear a house finch belting it out from a street tree. If the light rail goes over a river or passes by the shore, keep an eye out for gulls, herons, and birds that go diving for fish. And on the ride, you can also take comfort in knowing that you're helping birds by using public transportation and avoiding a potential car trip. By carrying more people in a single vehicle, mass transit can use less energy than cars. Taking steps to reduce greenhouse gas emissions can help the hundreds of bird species put at risk by climate change. Not to mention, while driving a car, you can't just relax and tune in to the birds all around you. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Remmel. This episode is dedicated to Kit Ellis of Gig Harbor, Washington, with thanks for her generous support of Bird Note.
Have you heard about the audio journal show, Young at Heart? It's okay to be young at heart. The show is about listening to simple stories about simple and happy tales of life. By listening to Young at Heart, you will experience the delight and wonder of being, well, young at heart. And since laughter is the best medicine, many of the stories will also make you smile, chuckle, or even laugh out loud. So pull up a comfy chair, take off your shoes, and bend your ears to the audio journal show, Young at Heart, every Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m.